Hi there, Craig Wilkinson, and welcome to another episode of Dangerous But Good. Here we talk about how you can be a danger to everything that's bad in society, everything that's mediocre, complacent, and less than first best in yourself, so that you and I can be the maximum good to the world, to our loved ones, something we all need to do. We are almost a month into the new year, and I just thought it'd be a great time to talk about the kind of year we're going to have. This is around about the time where all the New Year's resolutions start to fade. You go to gym the first, second, third week of Jan, and it is jam-packed. I mean, you just can't even get to the machine you want. But as the year progresses, the gym kind of thins out. And it's a sign that people had great intentions, started with a bang, but life just begins to happen. And those resolutions begin to fade. And so I want to touch on today how we can be a danger to complacency, a danger to mediocrity, a danger to second best. Someone shared a great quote with me during the new year. They talked about if you want to have a new year, you need to do things differently. If we don't do things differently this year, you're not going to have a new year. You're just going to have another year, another year. Someone said years ago to me once, they said most people, in their 40s, 50s, 60s, they've had 30 or 40 years of experience. But instead of it being 30, 40 years of experience, it's basically 1 year experience 30 times over or 40 times over. Same old, same old. That tendency to fall into a rut is just such a great tendency. The tendency to fall into what I call tolerable mediocrity is such a high tendency. We all have that. We just fall into a comfort zone. And so I'm going to challenge you this year. Let's make this a new year, not just another year, a brand new year where we do things differently. Again, I said it's a month after the start of the new year. And is it different? Is it turning out to be a different year to what you had last year? During this Christmas season, we went to a church service and the preacher got up and he started his message by saying, "I'm better than you." And then he paused. And of course, there was this kind of visceral response, who the hell are you to say you're better than me? But he went on to explain, and it turned out to be a very profound message. He went on to explain the fact that in some ways, in some unique areas where he was gifted, he was better than me or you. But he also went on to say that you're better than me. And it was a powerful message because we all have areas in our lives in which we are better than others. Why? Not because we're better human beings, not because we're more valuable, not because we're worthy of more blessing or opportunity, but because we have a specific gift in a specific area and a specific something that we can bring to the world and our loved ones that is wonderful, and we need to bring that. And in that area, we are better than others. But we also live in a world where others are better than us in some areas, and that's just fantastic. I've always said, I love the team. I love the team. In our business, we have accountants that help us. We have IT specialists that help us. And it's just wonderful because I can't stand doing accounting. I'm very bad at IT. You give a computer to me, a brand new one, I can't set that thing up. It just drives me nuts. But there's a guy who can or a woman who can, and they're gifted in that. And life is like that, isn't it? We're just surrounded. We've each been given a specific part of what we're good at. And the key is to find that and be that to the fullest of your ability. And if you're not that, you're depriving the world of a great gift. And if you're not that, you're depriving yourself of great level of fulfillment and happiness and joy. Now, one of the key things for living your best life, for being a danger to mediocrity, to second best, to just another year, is desire. In external discipline, if it's not matched by internal desire, is completely unsustainable. To be your best, you need to want to be your best. If you look at the Australian Open's being played right now, and Djokovic, Djokovic, I think, is the oldest competitor. He's 37 years old, going on 38. And you watch that guy play, there's a hunger, there's a desire, there's a passion. Of course he's gifted. Of course he's skilled. Of course he has the discipline to do the training and the practicing he needs to do. But he's playing guys that are almost 20 years younger than him and still beating them. Why? Because after 20 years of being on the circuit, he still desires it. Internal desire trumps external discipline every time. You can discipline yourself for a while. You can have that New Year's resolution and go to the gym for a while. But unless it's matched by something you really want, you really desire, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be lasting. Someone once said that nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. I mean, that's a great comment. You know, what do you want? Do you want that donut, that cookie, that second helping? Or do you want to be in good shape? You know, which one do you want the most? The one that you want the most is the one that you're going to be able to discipline yourself the most to get. So here's the question. What do you want? What do you want out of life? Do you want to be a gift to the world? Do you want to be a powerful force for good? Do you want to be in decent shape? Do you want to be physically, mentally, relationally? Do you want to have a great marriage, great relationships? Do you want that? Because if you desire that enough, you're going to do what it takes. You're going to put the work in to actually make that happen. So you know, I would really encourage you, come into this new year filled with desire. Know what you want. Pursue it. Desire it. Want it. Because if you do, your family's going to benefit, society's going to benefit, and you're going to benefit hugely because you'll be your best. Secondly, we must realize and know that the past does not equal the future. The past does not equal the future. I cannot stand it when people get canceled for something they did or said 10 years ago. For me, that's absolutely nuts. We're all on a journey. We all look back with regrets. We all look back and think, damn, I said something stupid. Damn, I behaved towards that woman or towards that man or towards someone that it makes me feel bad now. But I've changed. But I've grown. We need to give ourselves grace and we need to give others grace. We need to realize that the past does not equal the future. That even last year, what you did, the way you conducted yourself, the results you got last year, do not have to be the same as the results you get this year. The behavior, the attitudes. We need to be people who don't have closed minds, who don't are shut off and this is the way things are. We need to be people to give ourselves grace and others grace, to realize that we can change. You know, there's that corny saying that says, you cannot change the past, but starting today, you can change the future. And it's corny because we say it so often, but it's actually not corny. It's profoundly true. So many sayings, unfortunately, lose their gravitas because we say them too much and they become kind of, you know, oh man, I've heard that. You've heard it, but have you actually listened to it? Have you actually realized that, no, you cannot change the past? You know, I've become to realize more and more and more as I've gotten older that the real secret to happiness is very simple. It's not living in any regrets about the past, even though you might have screwed up badly. We all have. I have. Not living with regrets about the past. Not looking or living with fear about the future, anxiety about the future, but living with joy and savoring of today, because that's all we've got. Cannot change the past. We don't even know if tomorrow is happening for us, but we have got today. And so give yourself grace. Realize that, man, you're on a journey. We need to keep growing until the very day we die. Keep changing, keep growing our minds. I really don't like it when people ask you questions like, you know, who did you vote for? Trump or Kamala, you know, I mean, that's a question that is someone wanting to put you in a box. And we don't have to be in boxes. We don't have to be in societal made boxes. We can understand the nuances of life, the gray areas, think deeply and decide for ourselves the kind of person we want to be and the kind of future we want to build. Don't get boxed in. Don't get stuck in the past. Don't be fearful of the future. But truly, 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 with grace and with a desire to change and grow, say, you know what, I'm going to continue to grow, continue to learn, continue to be open-minded, continue to go into every conversation with the view that and the perspective that I may just have something to learn, not just desiring to push across your view. But let's do that. Let's be people who are constantly growing, who give ourselves grace, and who make a decision to create a future which is different from our past. We can do that. Another key thing for making this a new year and not just another year is to get out of what they call the broken window syndrome. The broken window syndrome is that things happen in our lives and they just become the norm. A study was done a while ago with cities that were falling into ruin. This happened in New York and it happened in various places. That if there's a broken window in a particular community, in a derelict building, chances are the next window being broken are very, very high. Because people come to accept that as the norm and what it's all about, and then they don't mind breaking the next window and the next, and pretty soon things just decline. I'll give you an example. Last year, our garage light broke, and it was dark when we walked into our garage. It was dark, so it was annoying. I used to put on my cell phone and shine the cell phone light to find stuff or open the garage door to get light in. And all it took was a phone call. I tried to change the globe. It wasn't that. It was something deeper. All it took was a call to an electrician to come in and replace the fitting that had broken. But I didn't do it for months. I came into this year thinking, you know what, I'm gonna fix every broken window in my life. So I called an electrician. He came around the same day. And he fixed it. And it's so wonderful. Walking into my garage, switching on the light, and there is light. It's amazing. So the key is to not to accept things that have just begun to fall apart. You know, we do that with all of our lives. We fall into this complacency. This is just the norm. You know, every year the stomach gets a little bigger and the belt gets a little longer. Why do that? You know, accepting complacency. Every year things go undone that should have been done. That phone call you should have made, you don't do it. You know, I love the Nike. It's become quite cliched, but just do it. Look at all the broken windows in your life. Look at all the things that should have been done that haven't been done and just nail them one by one. Call the electrician. Get the light fixed. Work on the stomach. Whatever it is, just do it. Because unless we do that, there's a thing called creeping obesity. Year by year by year, you don't just suddenly get fat. Slowly, slowly, slowly. But it applies to every area of our lives. Every area of our lives, we just fall into complacency and begin to creep into a zone of comfort, not excellence. We accept mediocrity. And we as individuals need to be dangerous to mediocrity. Dangerous to mediocrity in ourselves, in our societies, our communities, and others. We need to inspire ourselves and others to be the very best. Because you cannot be a danger to what's bad in society if you're complacent, if you are mediocrity. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are you getting the results you want? Financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally? Are you really in a place you want to be? Are you getting the results you want? Because if you're not getting the results you want, you need to do things differently. You need to change up what you're doing. Is your marriage falling into a bit of a complacent spot? How are you treating your spouse? What are you doing to spice things up? What are you doing to change yourself so that you can be a better husband, a better wife, a better partner? Are you getting the results you want? If the answer is not entirely, then look at the way you're doing things. You know, again, another corny saying we know so well. Insanity is doing the same things over and over and over again and expecting different results. Change the way you do things and you will change the outcomes that you get. Change the way you do things and you begin to get the things you want. One of the most powerful tools of being a danger to complacency, to being a danger to just another year, is the power of your habits. Your entire life, my entire life is made up of habits. Every single day I've got habits and you've got habits. It's the way we do things and we repeat it day after day after day. And it becomes Groundhog Day. We cut and paste. We get up in the morning. What's the first thing you do? Stumble to the kitchen, get a cup of coffee. Your alarm goes off, you push snooze button. I mean, habits, 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 habits. And the way to change your life is to slowly change your habits. Now, this doesn't mean the big ones. It starts with what I call micro habits. And it's not me who's called that. There's a whole study on micro habits. Micro habits are powerful ways you can transform your life without any extra money, without any extra time. I'll give an example from my life. You know, years ago, I decided that every single day I would do some sit-ups. Every day. And I started. I started with maybe 30, went up to 50. Now, years later, I do 300 sit-ups. Probably three times a week, four times a week, not every day. It's a habit. You know, it takes me less than 5 minutes. How many of us do not have 5 minutes a day? 5 minutes is all it takes. It's a habit. It's a micro habit. I decided years ago to always opt for stairs instead of elevators. Always. It drives my kids and my wife nuts. You know, we get to the airport, I'm carrying bags, there's an elevator up three flights, I'll take the stairs. It's just a micro habit. You get up in the morning, you know, what do you do? Instead of stumbling to the kitchen, have a glass of water next to your bed. Down a glass of water, get hydrated. I mean, there are myriad, thousands, millions of little habits that you can introduce to your life. No extra money, no extra time, not much extra effort, just a habit. How often do you tell your wife or your husband, I love you, honey? How often do you do that? Someone once said to me, you know, Craig, when is the best time to tell your wife you love her? I said, you know, I don't know. And he said, before somebody else does. Before someone else does. Get into the habit of just telling your loved ones. You know, my kids both live overseas at the moment. We have a habit. We talk on WhatsApp, FaceTime 3 to 4 times a week. Sometimes it's for 2 minutes, sometimes for 10. It's a habit. Get into great habits, man. Tell the people you love that you love them. Phone the people you need to get in touch with. Be that friend who's always initiating. Just habits, man. I knew a guy years ago, a very close friend of mine, and I mean, this was before we knew how bad sugar was for our diet. You know, they say sugar is the new tobacco. This guy used to take a 2-liter bottle of Coke to bed with him every night. And most mornings he'd wake up and it was pretty much done. Terrible habit. What happens if he said, you know, let me take a bottle of sparkling water? It's just a change of habit. That's all it is. Change of habit, micro habit. You can transform your life by micro habits. So find those habits that are truly transformational, that truly build your life and make them happen. Cut the excuses. Cut the excuses. You know, a lot of people, I talk a lot about physical fitness because I think it's very, very important. We're not defined by our body image by any means, but it's a very important part of your overall health. A lot of people say to me, you know, I just don't have time to go to the gym or money to go to the gym. You know, you don't have to go to the gym. You can do press-ups, sit-ups, chin-ups at home. You can jog on the spot at home. You can do squats at home. You know, there's so much we can do because we can. We don't need to make excuses not to do it. Being effective is another key to having a new year, not just another year. You know, laziness is not doing nothing. A person who's lazy doesn't necessarily is someone who lies around the couch doing nothing. A lazy person is someone who avoids doing the things that they need to do and fills their life with busyness doing things that they really shouldn't be doing. You know, you can have a very busy person, very busy, but they're busy doing stuff they don't need to do. They're busy scrolling. They're busy doing easy stuff that doesn't really have any benefit to them. You know, you go again, a gym example, you go to the gym and you find someone on the stair machine, but they're reading a book, you know, on the bicycle. And there's not a bead of sweat, you know, makeup's in place or whatever, hair's in place. You know, they're not, you know, they're going to gym, they're going through the motions, but is what they're doing actually working? I run a nonprofit, as most of you know, Father of a Nation, and one of the key things we have to do is raise funding. Now, for me, it's very easy to pop mails out. You know, I can become very efficient at sending mails to potential funders, but that's not that effective. What's effective is getting on the phone, setting up appointments, knocking on doors, getting out there. It's more difficult. It requires overcoming a fear barrier, but it works. The emails, I can be busy the whole day sending emails. You know, as you know, most people just ignore emails that are unsolicited, but we need to do the hard things, the things that really, truly work. With the gym workout, the guys and the women who are really, really getting fit are those that are sweating. They might go to gym for 20 minutes, half an hour, but what they do in that half an hour because of the sweat and the intensity is far more effective than someone can spend an hour. So the key for living this life that is effective, that's dangerous, that's optimal, is find out what works. Find out what works and do the things that are effective, even if they're difficult. And that's where discipline comes in. One has to have discipline. The desire, the vision of what you want to be, and the discipline to actually implement. Being your best self also involves living a balanced life. Living a balanced life. You know, you can be excellent physically. You can have a fantastic physique, but your marriage is a disaster. You can have a lot of money. Your career is excellent, but your relationship with your kids is falling apart. Life and excellence and being everything we can be is living all of our lives. You have a mind, you have a body, you have relationships, you have a community, you have a heart, you have a spirit. Are you attending to all of these areas of your life? If we become excellent in one area at the expense of others, that's not true excellence. That's not true excellence. We often judge people externally, you know, the car they drive, the bank balance, the job they have, the status they have, the clothes they wear. But, you know, it's far more than that. I love, and I've repeated this saying so many times, that sometimes the poorest man can leave behind the richest legacy because it's not what's on the external that really, truly makes a great person. It's what they do. It's the whole life that they live. I want to end with this story, which really blew my mind and really inspired me. Going back to my garage that had no light, I looked at, I Googled electricians, and I always like to find, you know, not the first or second or third, but look down the line at someone who you feel, you know, would probably benefit from this. And I found a guy called Eric Mabala, and I phoned him. He answered the call. I told him my problem. He said, fine, I'm on a job this morning, but I'll meet you there this afternoon. 3 o'clock, he arrived at my house, and he was in a car with two other guys. He wasn't driving. He was in the passenger seat. He had a driver, and he had someone in the back seat. And he got out of the car, and he was on crutches. And he told me his story. Last year, end of November, he suffers from diabetes. Last year, he fell off a ladder in the course of the work he was doing. He damaged his foot. He went to a government hospital. He was given the wrong treatment. The wound became gangrenous. He went back. They had to remove the foot, take his foot off. They did such a bad job that he almost died. It became infected. Eventually got out of hospital, and he's now on crutches. And he started a backer buddy fund to fund the operation that he needs to fix the botch up job that this hospital did on him. But his attitude blew my mind. He had got someone to drive him there because he couldn't drive. He'd got someone to help him with the ladder because he couldn't yet climb the ladder. And this team of three fixed my light and charged a very decent rate. But when I chatted to this guy and I heard his story, you know, Eric said to me, you know, he says, Craig, I'm a father. I have to work. I have to keep doing what I'm doing. I have to get out of bed and I have to do it. And I've got someone to help me to do that. His attitude blew my mind. He was grateful for the work. He was grateful for the people in his life that could help him to do the work. He did a fantastic job. He charged a reasonable price. And as he was leaving, I just said to him, Eric, you know, brother, you're an inspiration to me. You know, you really are. You're a great man. You may not feel like it, but you're a great man. And he said, you know, Craig, you almost teared up. I almost teared up too. He said, you know, I would go to war with one leg if I have to. And that's my final point. We need to go into this year with a sense of deep gratitude and with an attitude to win. No matter what life throws at you, and it throws some pretty tough shit at us sometimes, no matter what life throws at you, be grateful. Be grateful. There's that old saying, and it links very much to Eric. It says, I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. You've got so much to give. I've got so much to give. Let's give it. Let's give the world, our loved ones, the gift of our best. And let's give ourselves the gift of our best. Because I tell you what, when you are your best self in all these different aspects of life, when you live with an attitude and gratitude, man, life is so much better. And you're so much better. And you're so much bigger. And the world's so much better off because you're in the world. So go out there and be dangerous for good. And let's make this a new year, not just another year.